You're listening to Boston Public Radio with Jim Browdy and Marjorie Egan. In Brockton, Massachusetts, there's this controversy over sexually suggestive, drug-glorifying raps of a 9-year-old little boy. Here's a piece of it.
Coke ain't a bad word, Coca-Cola. Coke ain't a bad word, it's only soda.
Coke ain't a bad word, Coca-Cola. Coke ain't a bad word, it's only soda.
There's also controversy over the fact that the parents of the little boy could be charged with child abuse or neglect. Little boy's name is Lil Poopy. Emmett Price is an associate professor of music at Northeastern, currently a visiting professor of Africana Studies at Berklee College of Music. Hello there, Emmett.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure to have you.
Hi, Emmett. Thanks for being here. So, you know, maybe I'm just a middle-aged, white, fuddy-duddy mother, but it strikes me that when I saw these videos of this little 9-year-old kid whacking the behinds of grown women in spandex pants when they're bent over, and with these wads of cash and the cocaine T-shirts, I don't know. I thought this was a little bit much. Am I crazy?
It's out of taste. I mean, it clears out of taste. You know, the young man does have some talent. For him to be 8 years old and memorizing, you know, as expansive a repertoire that he has, and to be on the stage and not have shell shock from, you know, the cameras and the lights and the glitz, is something that we should, you know, look at. But I think that it lacks taste. And the controversy should be a private controversy that should happen within his home and his community, and some of the elders of the community and some of the clergy who have made comments should actually go speak with the parents and have that conversation. I don't think that we should kind of damn the young man publicly and screw up the rest of his life for some bad choices.
Yeah.
I think there's been less damning of the young man, Emmett Price, than there has been of the parents. And I have to say, I mean, I think I'm with you on this. And a colleague of ours in a staff meeting yesterday said something that I thought was right on point. Marjorie has written about kids she describes, I don't know if it's your term, prostitutes.
Right.
Little kids whose suburban moms in, you know, in the western suburbs are dressing their kids like little prostitutes. Nobody's talking about charging those mothers with child abuse or neglect. So there is a racial component to this thing.
There's no question about that. There's no question about that. You know, we're in Brockton. We have a Latino, you know, family. And the issues are that because this, you know, really irks, you know, the middle class sentiment, it rocks us to the left or to the right, depending on what our flavor is. And it becomes something that, you know, I mean, the point is that all of the media exposure continues to help him sell records.
Yeah.
You know, controversy breeds curiosity, which creates sales. So we've all had to go to the YouTube and add, you know, numbers to the viewing, you know, which helped to generate, you know, more followings, more Twitter feeds, you know, more Facebook feeds. And he's making more money. So the unfortunate thing is that our attention to it, and that's why I say it should be a private matter and not a public matter, continues to, you know, kind of spur it on.
Well, he's very cute, and he is talented, and he sings well and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, suppose he were just rapping about the little 9-year-old girl that's across from him in math class. Would he just be getting nowhere, or does he have to, like, sex it up like this?
There's no money in that.
There
hasn't been money in that since New Edition back in the 80s,
yeah.
You know, and they were young, by the way, or the Jackson 5 back in the 60s. Oh, they were young, too, you know. But, again, I don't think it's so much the age. I think it's the bad choices that parents are making. And my issue is this, that when you go after the parents, you go after the kid.
But if there's no money in making nice, clean little raps for a little kid, then daddy, Mr. Poopy, this is the other thing too. This kid is a little poopy. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. You know, talk about when you name your kid some ridiculous name.
I don't think they named him Little Poopy.
They didn't
He's, got
name him
name,
Poopy.
Marjorie,
He's got a name, Marjorie. He's got a name. His father's Louis Rivera.
Yeah.
I forget what his first name is.
I think he's Louis Rivera too. Is he not?
Yeah,
Louis Junior.
Rivera
yeah.
Junior. Yeah, we were looking for an interview with Mrs. Poopy when we originally got the story, but that's not. But again, there's something kind of, I don't know, just upsetting about that to me, too. But if there's no money in doing non-oversexualized, and it's full of drug stuff, too. He's got the coke. He says in the song it's not...
it's a drink.
It's a drink. Mm-hmm. But the guy that discovered him is Cocaine Records or something like that. So it's definitely talking about cocaine. What happens? Does he just now fade into oblivion because he's not going to be able to do these sorts of things if he thinks he's got the state's child abuse people on his back?
Well, I'm not sure that the child abuse folks have a case here.
I don't think they do.
And I'm not a lawyer. So again, this whole controversy is going to help the young man sell records, and it does not get to the endemic problem that we have. We have a systemic problem that the entertainment industry and the music industry is, you know, growing on the backs of young people. You know, and has, you know, for decades,
yeah.
You know. And the issue is that our attention should actually go after the folks who are signing the checks, who are making it okay, who are producing the videos, who are, you know, distributing the videos, who are making sure that it gets in your hands, in the hands of national press. Those are the individuals we should go after. I mean, you know, the Rivera family just found the trap door. Right. And they're benefiting financially, I would argue, right now. And that's probably the only way they're benefiting. But, you know, we need to have a child psychologist in here and sit with Mr. Rivera and the Rivera family and talk about the potential long term damage that this will have on this young man, because he's been introduced to some very, very obtuse, you know, behavior.
His number, our number is 877-301-8970. If you want to comment on a little poopy thing and this whole issue of potential charges being leveled against the Rivera parents for, you know, potentially for child abuse, child neglect, that sort of thing. You know, when you say, I agree with you, it's unlikely, and I don't have firsthand knowledge just from what I read, that charges be pressed. But the damage in many ways has been done, has it not? It seems to me, again, because we don't hear about charges being leveled against people in other economic strata, other racial strata, that sort of thing. I mean, this stays with the family in that kind of, even if there are no charges leveled, does it not? Obviously, they're celebrated in the worst sort of, I guess notorious is a better term, in Brockton now, no?
Yeah, I mean that's true, but the American conscience is very short. The American memory is even shorter than the conscience, right? So there is a life after all of this. It may take time and one needs to heal through it. But the question is, if we're concerned about the health and well-being of the young man, removing him out of the home doesn't do anything good. You know, let's support, you know, this family to help them make better decisions, right? And let's remove all the jealousy, because I mean the big number that's on the page is $7,500 per show. Wow, I'm looking at that, right, and saying, man, you know, I'm in the wrong line of work.
Actually, I happened to have a chance yesterday to talk to the commissioner of the Department of Children and Families, and I don't
did you talk about
any.
This or no?
I did, and I don't
what did he say to you?
Well, they're doing a 15-day investigation because the cops, the Brockton cops, called formerly DSS, now Department of Children and Families, and said, we think there's a problem here. So they go out and do their de rigueur investigation.
But can you believe that one nickel is being spent? I mean, can you believe that police time is being spent on looking into this?
Here's the thing I'm wondering, because, you know, I'm not an expert on the rap world. Let me just say that right now. Maybe there's a cultural difference here. Maybe this is not such a big thing. I remember doing a story a couple of years ago, the guy from Senegal, Akon, mm-hmm. and there was a big brouhaha because he looked like he was having sex on stage. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We thought, that's terrible. Mm-hmm. And then people called up that were big fans.
Not with himself, by the way, but with young women,
yes,
who were called up,
yes,
from the crowd. He was having simulated sex on stage.
Then people called up that knew a lot about this guy, and they said, yeah, you're overreacting. This is no big deal. Mm-hmm. This is a cultural thing. It's fine. Relax. Calm down. Are we overreacting in the same way? To this kid?
I mean, yes and no. The young man is 9 years old.
Right.
This is not appropriate behavior for a 9-year-old. Let me say that loud and proud. But in hip-hop culture, it's a part of, you know, the apparatus. I don't think it's an actual part of the core of the culture, but it's part of the apparatus. When you look at the Oscars, the opening segment of the Oscars talked about all these women's, you know, cleavage,
yeah,
you know.
No, they didn't talk about their cleavage. They talked about what's on the side of the cleavage, even worse.
Well, I'm going to leave that to you guys to really articulate that.
It was
but
gross.
The point is, it's not just hip-hop culture. It's American
Everywhere.
Culture.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but it's good to hear, by the way. I should say, we're talking about this being racially tinged. A lot of people who love Seth MacFarlane, I'm one of them, were appalled by the song.
It was horrible.
It was horrible. And plus, by the way, speaking of horrible, do you think this kid's got talent? Putting aside what he's singing, what he's rapping about, do you think the kid's got talent?
He has talent, and I would argue that if we had some courage in the entertainment industry, somebody would sign this young man, and he can be the flagship young person who can rap about multiplication timetables, who,
yeah,
can flow about scientific examinations of things that would really spark and stimulate young people. He can be the banner child for young folks to inspire them, encourage them, to help them celebrate, you know, intellectual prowess. The guy is smart.
You a betting man?
I'm not, but I would allow you to bet on it.
What are the odds? I'm serious. I'm shaking my head up and down as you're saying that. Say, what a great idea. And you get to piggyback on the publicity this kid has,
yeah,
had. You get to be a do-gooder. No one's doing that, are they?
No one's doing that.
We're talking with Emmett Price. He's an associate professor of music at Northeastern University, currently a visiting professor of Africana Studies at Berklee College of Music. What a fun place that must be.
I'm having a blast.
I bet you are. Here's what I want to know, though. When I think of other young rappers, Lil Wayne, Lil Bow Wow, I guess it's Big Wayne and Big Bow Wow now, when they were 12 and 13, I mean, this is a while ago still, but were they doing the kind of stuff you're talking about, being sort of the upstanding young preteen rappers, or they were doing the very sexual stuff too?
I mean, Both and.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's Bow Wow, you know, Romeo, Little Romeo.
Oh, Little Romeo, that's right.
And a number of different folks. I mean, yes and no. You didn't have YouTube back then. And you didn't have this opportunity to really have spontaneous social media that goes far and wide. And then you didn't have as many, you know, social media voyeurs as you do now,
right.
You know, who sit at home on the couch and just float through Facebook and float through YouTube to see what's out there. So it's a different aspect. I mean, the question is, you know, is too much stuff being broadcast and streamed around for folks who are bored to, you know, call and file a 51A on a 9-year-old?
By the way, the evidence that there's too much stuff around is it gave us Justin Bieber. I'll end my comment. Let's go to Ryan in Newton. Oh, pardon me. Is it Newton, New Hampshire? Ryan, you're on Boston Public Radio with Jim, Marjorie, and Emmett. Good morning, Ryan. Good afternoon, Ryan.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Great.
All right. So I'm speaking as a 21-year-old rap artist from Newton, New Hampshire. I think that personally, as long as the parents are differentiating the difference between the lifestyle and the music, then I don't think there's a problem. And I think that most of all, you hit it on the head when you talked about sales. This is selling. Raps about multiplication tables will not sell. And they can be productive, and they can definitely influence the culture and help kids the same age. But I think it's more important to make kids realize that these are performers. This isn't their actual life. This is just something they're talking about.
How about that, Emma?
I want to bring one rapper to light really quick. Tyler, the Creator, he's this rapper on this label called Odd Future. He raps about cocaine and heroin and marijuana and all of that, but he doesn't actually touch drugs. Like, his social life is completely void of any drug activity, and he makes that known.
I mean, there's tons of examples in all hues and ethnicities. And, you know, my primary issue is, you know, as someone who's a little bit older, I'm concerned about the health and welfare of these individuals once they're done, once they move past, you know, this moment.
Yeah.
You know, well, I mean, you got to look at stuff like people growing up all over. Like, for instance, I rap with a bunch of kids who are like, you know, 16, 17, and they rap about the same stuff, but our lifestyles are very different from the lyrics.
Yeah.
Ryan, how good are you? How good are you, Ryan?
I think I'm all right for a little white kid from New Hampshire.
Why don't you do something for us?
Really?
No?
I murder witches. Wouldn't have had to be suspicious, because without delicious kisses, I could leave you with stitches. So forget your wishful wishes. Don't try to be malicious. I grew up with stitches, and I learned to be vicious. This is kill a time when you're next on the news, so you better let loose of those ghosts that used to be inside of you. Step out of the blue, switch topics, Snoop Dogg's profit, pop lock, and drop it.
Hey, Ryan from Newton, New
great.
Hampshire. That was great.
Thank
right
you.
On the spot. Ryan, thanks so much for calling. Number's 877-301-8970. What's your reaction to the story? You're with Ryan on this thing. You're with the cops down there in Brockton who think that potentially there is room for charges of child abuse or neglect. Again, it's 877-301-8970.
You know, I think this is analogous in some ways. Jim mentioned before that little prostitutes and stuff like that, but you look at young women now in high school and college, they're dressed really provocatively. And you go to a bar mitzvah on a Saturday, and these girls are in these little, I call them little hooker dresses. But the boys, the parents are all beside themselves over this. I mean, begging the question, why do the parents buy them the dresses? But they're all, this is terrible. Look at these kids. They look awful. But the kids themselves don't seem upset about it, and the boys don't seem over the edge about it. So maybe this is just our being adults looking back at kids and thinking, this is bad, yet for the kid, it's not so bad.
I mean, it's different. I mean, part of it, I mean, again, it's yes and no. Part of it is we are our parents, right?
Yeah.
So
how did that
the same thing happened, you know, back when we were that age. The second part of it, though, is that when you look at the industry that creates, you know, the clothing, you can't go to a mall or to a, you know, a flagship store and buy a pair of Levi 501 jeans anymore that fit all the way up.
That's
right?
A good
you
point.
Either got to buy skinny jeans,
yep,
or you got to buy jeans that sag and are created to sag, or, you know, the little short, you know, promiscuous dresses.
Yeah.
So part of it is, you know, again, why are we pointing our fingers down in the trenches? Why don't we point our fingers up to those who are kind of creating this notion? I mean, that's my issue. You
but
know,
by the way, you've written not only about what Emmett has said, Marjorie, in your fine column in the Boston Herald.
Yes.
You've written about how the mothers look exactly
like
the children
sometimes
in so many
do.
Cases.
I think what we need to do here is send the police to the Natick Collection outside that little Forever 21 store or whatever it is, and start
do a dragnet
people.
Kind of
absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely, arrest them all. Let's go to Mary from Framingham. You're near the Natick Collection, Mary. What do you think about this?
Mary, hi.
Hi. This controversy reminded me, because you all are about my age, and I remember when Tatum O'Neal started in Paper Moon. And she was a young child
actress. She won an Academy Award, youngest Academy Award winner ever.
She did, but there were a lot of concerns about her parents and others using her for profit in ways that were not very child-friendly.
By the way, that was worse. Brooke Shields in, what was it called, Pretty Baby? Was that the name of the movie?
That was
where Brooke
one.
Shields was topless as a young teen in the movie in a house of prostitution. I mean, and there was a whole question of
it because it was art.
But Mary...
It wasn't the way they were raising their children. It was art, and she was depicting a certain... slice of life.
Yeah, but do you remember how Ryan O'Neill, father of Tatum O'Neill, is at the funeral of his former wife, Farrah Fawcett, and hits on his own daughter, Tatum O'Neill? So maybe there was something amiss.
Literally, he did not know that Tatum O'Neill was his own kid. It's true.
I think you have to think about the impact on the child and these questions that get raised when a child is being used for profit in art and when it's not, you know, the argument that it's not.
Mary, you make a great point. Thank you for your call. You know, I'm going to show myself to be a hypocrite, I think, here after listening to Mary. When I saw Pretty Baby a century ago, and I saw Brooke Shields, I hope I get this right, I think she was topless in the scene in a house prostitution, her mother was a prostitute there or something. I was saying to myself, her mother should be arrested for allowing this to happen. So why is it I felt that way then and feel in this case exactly what you do, Emmett, that this is a family matter with little Poopy and his parents? Let him. Why
little
am I?
Poopy.
What happened in between with me?
Well, I think we see the impact of these situations, how they play out publicly. We're watching in the 21st century, 2013, all these failed marriages and all these situations where these young people are really impacted by situations that are public situations. And my thing is, I mean, yeah, there is some stuff going wrong here. There's some stuff going wrong here. But are we so, you know, kind of, you know, ready to throw, you know, the whole family under the bus? Are we ready? Are we really focused on the safety, welfare, and creating a future for this young man?
Speaking of the safety, we're going to take one more quick call. Maria from Ipswich, Massachusetts, I believe, is a child therapist. Is that correct, Maria?
That is correct.
You're on with Emmett Price. Shoot.
Hi, I'm about 59 years old, and I have been a child and family therapist for many, many years in New York City and Massachusetts. And I just wanted to clarify for the person who called before and said they thought it was okay as long as the parents are discussing with the child what's real and what's not real. And I just wanted to say that it's just categorically incorrect. And it is commonly believed that you can talk to children and explain something. They do not have the capacity to process all that information. There's a reason why we don't show pornography to seven-year-olds. It distorts they're growing up. So your guest is absolutely correct. The whole society is out of whack, and we are taking our desire for free speech, and we're saying that this extends to polluting children from the time they are three, dressing the girls in thong underwear. That this is, and I'm a person who counseled, there were six teenage suicides in the North Shore last year, and I was in the hospitals, and I was there counseling these kids and seeing them every day, and knowing how kids turn out. Yes, every kid who gets shown, you know, sexual stuff at age 10 will not become somehow perverted by it, but a certain percentage will, and we're destroying them.
Maria, that's a great call. Emmett, final thought?
I'm so glad she called in because, again, this becomes a disconnect between research and data and what is just social conversation. The more we have this information in terms of looking at the dynamic impact, long-term of impact of these young people, I think the more we will make the better decisions and also support these families.
Emmett Price, thanks so much.
I think we need Grandma Poopy and Great-Grandma Poopy to come in and get these people under control. That's what I think.
Emmett Price, great to meet you. Thanks
Thank
for coming
you
in.
Thank you very for much me. For coming in. Up next, it's Open Mic with Boston Globe editor Brian McGroy. That's next on 89.7 WGBH, Boston Public Radio.